this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today I have with me in the studio Mindy Gibbons Klein. Mindy is an author, but more than that, she also founded a company that helps turn other people into authors, and also she has a business that publishes books once completed by that author. So Mindy, lovely to have you here today. And if you could start by just giving us a rundown of your journey from when you were at school up until now, and then we'll start to talk about authoring.
So when I was at school, I loved writing. I was an early reader. My dad taught me to read at 3 years old. And when I got to school, I was reading and writing, and a lot of the kids were learning to read. So I got to go off to one side and write my little books, and the teacher would staple them together and let me read them to the class, and got a kick out of it.
Lovely.
So yeah, I always had my little stories, and I always wrote, decided I wanted to be a writer. Won a few prizes and things like that, wrote poems, wrote short stories, always wanted to write a full-length book. But then I was told that that wasn't a really great career and I wouldn't make any money and I should do something more sensible. So I didn't go into it straight away. I actually went and studied linguistics at university, and that was very enjoyable. But the moment I finished, I decided I didn't want to work in that field. So I went into something completely different, went into sales, and started working on my MBA, and decided that business was where it was at.
And that point, you were still overseas?
I was. Oh, yes. Well, my strange accent is because I grew up in New York and went to university in Canada and then did my master's back in the States. I had quite a few different ideas, quite a few different jobs, a few different degrees, but I wasn't writing at that point. I'm trying to think if I wrote anything at that point. Probably not. I'd put it all on hold.
So you were thinking in the background that, you know, you loved writing and you wanted to write, but you actually had several years where you were sort of following a different career route. So tell us a little bit about the route that you were following.
Well, I'm very pleased that I had an open mind, because if I'd been fixated on one thing, I think I would have been despondent. You know, I don't even know if I would have enjoyed being a speech therapist, which was the obvious place to go after studying linguistics and language learning. And I didn't want to do it. So then I thought, oh, what shall I do? And I kind of fell into that sales job. And then I did really well, as it turned out. And it was fun. I like chatting. And, you know, that's basically what sales is, chatting with people. So it gets a bad reputation, but it was really fun. And I did well and made some money. But I got kind of bored. It was like, okay, you know, now what? Mm-hmm. And then I was very lucky to spot an opportunity to be a sales trainer. And I got that job. And so I felt I could have a bigger impact working with more people and helping them to be successful at sales. And I did that for quite a while. And that's what got me into training and speaking.
And then after that, you actually did some marketing as well?
Well, the training department got taken over by the marketing department. So that was kind of an accident as well. And I think it's, you know, I have two children of my own, and I meet with young people, and I always say, be open to things, be open to the unexpected, because nobody expected that. And I never would have said, well, I'm going to apply for a marketing job. But all of a sudden, I was in the marketing department. Mm. That's what got me over to the UK, in fact. Well, I decided to move over here, and then I was able to get a marketing role up north, and, you know, the rest is kind of history. Mm.
And you did actually then write your first book, but it was some time after you'd sort of thought about the idea. So tell us about your first book.
Okay, so the first book was almost an accident as well. What happened was a friend of mine, he had a really rough time. He developed epilepsy. It was not controlled very well. He had a very hard time with it, and he got depressed, and he took his own life. And that really threw me. We were both in our 20s. It was just so unfair. I was angry. I was upset. I had all these emotions. I didn't really know what to do with it, and I was moving to the UK, so I sort of shoved it under the rug. Within 6 months of moving over to this country, it all came back up, as everything always does. You can't, you know, push things away forever. And I knew I had to write the story. There were people who said, you know, it was a sin to take his life. And I just felt there was nobody to tell his story. And I really wanted to write it. So it was that passion that spurred me on. And I did start writing that. And, you know, I did it part time. I did it, you know, in between other work. I had some major changes. I moved house twice. And I kept persevering, and I kept working on it, sending it out, getting rejections, sending it out again, modifying it, editing it. It took a long while for me to finally see it in print. Mm.
And how long did that take?
Well, the whole journey took 10 years, I'm ashamed to say. My first book, A Dance in the Desert, is still out there. It's still selling. How many years later? 16 years later. And we still give half the proceeds to the epilepsy charities. So my friend is no longer here. And I just felt that I wanted to do something for the charities that man the hotlines and that help people. So that's our mission.
But that actually led you to your sort of your next thing, which is where you are now, really, didn't it?
Yes. And it took as long as it took. It mostly took that long, to be fair, because every time I got a rejection, it chipped away at my already fragile self-confidence. I had a lot of people saying to me, oh, come on, what are you doing, wasting your time? I didn't even want to tell anybody I was writing. Mm-hmm. And I started to doubt myself even more. And I was just waiting for somebody to offer me this publishing deal on a plate, and it wasn't happening. And it was easier not to work on it. I could ignore it. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't have to face the fact that it wasn't happening. When I finally did get the book into print, so many people wanted to know how I wrote and published the book. They were at risk of never doing it. They knew somebody. And yes, it started the whole book midwife business.
And tell us about that.
So the book midwife is a metaphor. You know that book everyone has inside them? So we help pull it out. Because in many cases, apparently 83% of all adults say they want to write a book. It's on their bucket list or goal list, but they don't do it. They want to, but they don't know how, or they let those fears and doubts get to them. And so it just never happens, which is really sad. So we're there to hold their hand, like a midwife, and show them the path and guide them and encourage them, inspire them, and, you know, help them do it faster and better. And that really makes the difference for a lot of people.
And then after that, you go on to publish the books as well, don't you?
So I started a publishing company called Panoma Press, and it's a very, very rewarding thing to see the book finally in print. That's, you know, the tangible evidence of what you know and what you've said and your thoughts and ideas. So it really made sense to take them all the way through to publish, launch, and distributing and selling the books globally.
And before we talk about you know, the numbers of books and things that you've published, I just wanted to stop to reflect on a moment that, you know, individuals always take different routes to get where they are. And, you know, here's another great example where you had this love of books and of writing, and then you went off supposedly on a different route because you were doing sales and then you were doing marketing, but then you brought it back and you've written your book, and now your business combines the things that you love and the things that you have this expertise in, sales and marketing. So I always find it fascinating when, you know, you listen to someone's story and everybody in the end seems to get to that point where they can combine the experience and the things they love. And you know, I think your business here is a really good example of that. And tell us about the size of the business and some of the stats and all the lovely books that you've published.
So we, in the past 16 years since we started The Book Midwife, we've now helped over 1,000 people to write and publish their books.
Wow.
And we have just gone over 200 international and translation deals. We've been dealing with an agent in China, and you know, that's so exciting to see these books coming out in different languages. So the reach is even bigger now. Yeah, it's very, very rewarding.
I mean, do you yourself, I know, have written a number of books since then. So tell us about some of the books that you've authored.
Okay, so the first book was really important to me. As I say, it was because it was about my friend. I did change a lot of the details and made it fiction. So they call that faction, actually. It's based on fact. I then started writing books about writing and publishing and thought leadership. And the next one that people would know is 24 Karat Bold. And 24 Karat Bold is about how to claim your position as a thought leader or expert. And a lot of people don't feel they're experts, but when they stop and take a look at something that they've been through, you know, you get people who are experts in, graduating from school despite being dyslexic. You get people who are experts in dealing with a family crisis such as divorce or a health challenge.
And that leads really nicely then into, you know, the activity of an author and the sorts of things that you have to get involved in order to author a book. So tell us a bit more about that.
So I am an author, but I'm not just an author. And I think that anybody who is writing, even if they are in the process of writing, even if they never publish, they can call themselves an author. So I give any of the listeners permission, call yourself an author. Doesn't mean published author. Otherwise, we'd be saying published author. So the thing about being an author is it blends nicely with other things. It blends nicely with running a business or having a career or being a mom or traveling or whatever. There are people who are writing alongside all these other things that they're doing.
And so how long does a book have to be a book?
My personal limit, lower limit, is about 25 to 30,000 words, because I think if you don't have that number of words, it's a bit pamphlety. It's a bit, you know, kind of thin.
Yeah.
It depends what you're trying to do. But, you know, to be taken seriously, to have it look and feel like a book needs about 25 to 30,000 words. If you're writing a how-to book or, you know, a bit of a story, a real story or imagined, it probably a bit longer, 35, 40,000.
And how long should it take to write a book?
how long is a piece of string?
Yes. Yeah.
So a book of that length takes about 150 hours of someone's time. So I don't know if that sounds like a lot or a little. Obviously, if somebody just cleared the decks and worked on nothing else, they could do it in a month. Generally, on our programs, people do their book in 3 months, 90 days, or up to 6 months. There's you know, any longer than that, and you're kind of dabbling, because that's three to 10 hours a week. Mm. And if it's something that's important or exciting or urgent, you will find 3 to 10 hours a week to work on it. So that's what I would recommend. Otherwise, you know, it really is painful. Of course, if some people write just as a hobby and there's no urgency and they don't want to publish, that's fine. They can just write whenever.
But if people, you know, they continue and they get the book done and they hit that sort of number of words and they're quite happy with it, what's the next step? Because you can't go straight into publishing. You have to get somebody to look at it, don't you?
Yeah, it really depends, because if somebody wants to get a traditional book deal and they are few and far between and they can be hard to come by, they will find that the bigger the publisher, the more control they want to take. So that includes having the book edited in-house. So I wouldn't recommend that somebody does too much editing if they're looking for one of those deals. However, if they don't get one of those deals, or they don't want one of those deals, if they want to see the book out faster or partner with a smaller publisher or self-publish, then they will need to organize all of that. They'll need to find a publisher who Does the editing and proofreading? Very important. What's the worst thing is reading in a book and just a typo just jumps out at you. And yeah. I found bad grammar in the last book I was reading, and it just sets my teeth on edge. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in order to be professional and to be taken seriously, it has to be edited. But people can find, as you say, they can partner up with publishing companies such as yours, or alternatively, they can find editors, they can probably Google editors, etc. But someone needs to edit the book. And when it's ready to be published, then your options are, as you said, to go to a large publisher, to a smaller publisher, or indeed they can self-publish. So there's lots of ways of getting it out there now, isn't there?
Absolutely. Everything's changed. That's part of the reason why it took me so long to get my book out there, is there weren't so many options at the time, 16 years ago. Well, 26 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I just felt beholden to these publishers, and, you know, I felt like they were in control. Well, they were, and, you know, they wielded all the power. And it's not very nice to have to jump through all those hoops and have these gatekeepers saying, you know, you're worthy, you're not worthy, your book deserves to be published, your book doesn't, you know, it's horrible. I think it's a lot more empowering nowadays. It's a wonderful, wonderful landscape and industry and full of opportunities.
It's not just about writing the book, though. There is so much more to it in terms of the packaging, isn't there?
It depends what somebody wants to do. So one of my first clients was in her 70s. And I'm sure the listeners know people in their 70s. And it's a different outlook, because she was just wanting to get her ideas into print, you know, while she was still around. Mm-hmm. And we got the book into print, but she was not interested at all about selling it in bookstores, or she just wanted 10 copies for her family. Totally different. So, you know, people really have to ask themselves what their objective is. You know, what's the big reason why? Do they want to see it in stores? Do they want to sell it online? Do they want to, you know, sell thousands of copies? It's definitely possible, but it needs a bit of a strategy. So, yes, if you're interested in selling books online or in stores, then it needs to have the right look and feel.
Assuming then that, you know, someone decides to embark on this journey and start writing their book, what would you say are the attributes of being able to be an effective writer, or at least to get your book done?
Well, the most important thing is having a big reason why, having that passion, having a real desire to share a message and a reason why you want to share it. Understanding that it's not easy, you have to have a really strong reason why. Otherwise, you'll find lots of excuses, just like with anything in life. Yeah. And then having the perseverance and the tenacity, having some kind of professionalism about it. So we work mostly with business books, but I like to tell people that we have a business-like approach to every book. Every book that our authors are working on is part of their business, even if their business is just, you know, raising their profile, managing their career, building their reputation, or becoming a writer.
So really, it boils down to sort of being disciplined enough to actually produce the book in the first place. And that comes from a passion and a reason why, to actually want to get that book out and into people's hands.
Yeah, ironically, if you have enough passion, you don't need the discipline. It's just pulling you towards it. Yes. It's just like with anything that you've worked on that's important to you. You don't even have to push yourself. It's not even like work.
And in terms of attributes, I mean, there will be some people who feel that they have a book inside them, but maybe they're dyslexic or they doubt their writing ability. But as you said earlier, you know, that's what editing is for, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of people who come to us, including adults of a certain age, who say, I can't write, because they were told by some teacher, oh, you know, you can't write. What that teacher meant was you can't spell, or, you know, possibly dyslexia was at the root of it, or just, you know, somebody kind of rushing to get their ideas on paper, and the spelling and grammar, you know, not perfect. But there are people who've been told things like that very unhelpfully by teachers. In the past, I think, you know, the trend is different now, but it really is hurtful, because then that person has a belief, oh, I can't write. And that's horrible, because, you know, everybody can write. Everybody can share their ideas. They need that self-belief and confidence. And that's where we come in many times with our clients. Yeah. I've met so many people who have written their book and then they've said, oh, wow, I've written a book. I can't believe it. And they've surprised themselves.
Yes.
And in a way, they want to prove something to some teacher or whatever. That's up to them.
Yeah.
But everybody can write.
Yeah. So tell us some of the great things about being an author.
So one of the best things about being an author is the flexibility. You can write in the morning. You can write during the day, you can write in the evening, you can write weekends, you can write for an hour, 2 hours, whenever you have time. You can write in bed, you can write on the couch. It's so, so flexible. You also can tell people that you're a writer or an author, even if you're doing other things as well. You know, that's it's so much fun at a party, you know, when people say, what do you do? I'm an author.
Yeah.
And they'll be instantly impressed. It is fun if you're playing around with ideas, as long as you don't have somebody killing those ideas straight away. That's really fun. I find that invigorating, you know, to sort of say, get my next idea for my next book or my next article and, you know, sort of get to town on that.
And also, I mean, obviously, we've got people listening who are embarking on their career. And, you know, to be able to put the fact that you are an author and to actually put the title of your book on your CV is amazing. It puts you, you know, head and shoulders above some of your competition. Do you know anybody that's really helped?
I do know people who have written books as part of their career. And in some cases, their boss or their company sponsored the book. So that was exciting for them.
Yeah.
My own sister wrote a book about social work, which she's involved in. And she was at an interview because she was made redundant. And the folks on the panel said, we hear you've written a book. So they'd been investigating and Googling her and everything. She opened up her bag and said, here's one I prepared earlier. And she had a copy of the book for each person on the panel.
Wow.
And they said, oh, how much do we owe you? And she said, oh, nonsense. You know, she gave them a book. She got the job and she beat out a lot of other people, including some who were younger than her. And I know that that book was a big part of it.
Where can it lead to if you've written a book?
Wherever you want it to lead to. So some people want to be a writer, like I did when I was young. I thought, I want to write for a living. And okay, I write for a living. Sometimes it's emails, sometimes it's an article. You know, we write every day.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a writer full time. That's not what I've chosen to do. However, having books as part of a business, having part of your career, it can lead to all kinds of opportunities. My phone rings and my emails come in every week with opportunities, invitations. This podcast, for example.
Yeah.
I have another interview next week and one the following week. There are constantly things coming up because people think, well, you know, this is somebody who knows about a topic. Am I the utmost expert in everything? No, but it's part of an overall career.
What it does is it positions you as an expert in your field. So I wrote a book about how to find your first job. It didn't mean that I knew any more than I already did, but it meant that people's perception of me was different. So yeah, I would absolutely recommend that if anybody feels that they want to write a book, but you know, they're unsure about how that is going to fit alongside their career, that they should just go for it and just start, because it's going to do nothing but help. And I just personally wanted to thank you for that, because that was amazing for me.
Oh,
and as you know, I'm about to write another one with
yes.
you, with again your support. If people want to find out more about how to take the next step, Mindy, and in particular to sort of look at the services that you offer, how can they go about that?
So the easiest name or term to remember is Book Midwife. So Book Midwife as a single word is one of our Twitter handles. Bookmidwife.com is a great website that we've set up with lots of different ways to get help.
Well, I'm sure that you've inspired a number of budding authors and that people will be flocking to your website and your social media accounts and finding out how to go about it. Mindy, thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
Thank you, Angela.